we leave this conversation with another bit of writing that Mr. Katzman says would not pass muster with those who administer the SAT. Alas, this author did not go to college, but he did pretty well as a playwright.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant...
Today's minds, young and not so young, often overflow with information, little of which is measured on standardized tests. In their own fashion, Americans carry on about Ugg boots, iPods, Jessica Simpson, and Outkast, among many. John Deere caps are the rage, or typewriter key jewelry, or cholo music. But it's worth mentioning that fleeting fancies are not confined to these times. For every reality TV stunt, the 1920s had a flagpole sitter. For every Pilates class today, 18th century France had a masquerade ball. So we asked our classics commentator, Elaine Fantham, to cast her mind back to some of the earliest recorded crazes and fads. She pointed us to ancient pantomimes, Bathyllus and Pylades, to be exact.
The pantomime at Rome, like all bad, wicked, degenerate things, it came from the East.
Now wait. Oh, never mind.
This is prejudice. This is popular prejudice.
All right, yes.
And Pylades came from Cilicia and Bathyllus from Alexandria, and their specialty was a kind of very suggestive dancing. And apparently what made things get so much hotter in 22 BC was that Pylades brought in the idea that while he danced, there was an orchestra and a chorus providing gooey background noise for him. He would perform very lurid roles, such as a hero forced to kill his mother.
Oh, my word.
Bit much, isn't it?
Well, offhand, yeah. Doesn't sound like vaudeville, let's put it that way.
There were immense theatre riots in favour of these people, or, you know, backing one of them against the other. Notwithstanding, once your pantomimes were performing, you had women hot and flushed with ecstasy. That's what Juvenal says. And you had the men, who I'm afraid, were not much better. Augustus's chief minister of state, Maecenas, had an embarrassing and notorious passion for Bathyllus.
Well, this sounds like a good time was had by all, Elaine. I mean, this is really audience participation entertainment.
Vastly, yes.
Well, let me ask you about the fad aspect of this. Would fads develop as, in a sense, booty came home from different wars?
Yeah, you know. Your army officers, I mean, we know, for instance, that army officers brought home dirty Greek pornography in their luggage, because one chap lost his luggage and it was opened by the equivalent of the FBI or something, and they found scandalous love letters, but they also found Milesian tales. Books would be less common, I think, than exotic, kitschy house decorations. You could, of course, arrange, for instance, to have a mass of very cultured-looking Greek statuary imported for you to spread around your garden. Mm-hmm. There was a large industry in Greek statuary. Some of the fads that are worth just briefly flicking over in one's mind, mm-hmm. See-through Cohen silk dresses for ladies, a very new, thin kind of silk which revealed all. Citruswood tables from Libya. You have a citruswood table, your neighbour has to have a bigger one. The weirdest thing, of course, was that I think they got bored at home, you know? Books were not so freely available. There was no radio, there was no TV. So they wanted entertainment in their homes. And the weirdest type of entertainment I know was the enthusiasm for having little naked kids, sort of under five, toddling around the dinner table, making cute remarks to the guests. They were treated as kind of somewhere between a pet and a jester.
These were not necessarily your own children. These were sort of professional troops of children?
These would be slave children. And they might be the children of your own household slaves. But you could go to the market and deliberately buy what were called Alexandrian boys. That's to say, if they weren't from Alexandria, they pretended to be. And they were notorious for their witty retorts and apparently highly improper conversation.
At the age of 5, they had witty retorts?
Well, I think the Alexandrians probably were up to about puberty. I agree with you. I think the 5-year-olds just looked cute and toddled around looking like Cupids.
Mm.
Partly it was because many people were childless and they didn't have the happy voices of little children around them.
Yeah.
Oh. They can have my granddaughter for a week.
That's such a warm-hearted reflection.
Oh, she's enormously cute, and she knows it.
Well, see, that's almost the most dangerous combination. But your granddaughter's welcome any time here as you are.
Oh, that's very kind, Scott.
All right, Elaine Vantham, our classics commentator, also Professor Emeritus of Classics at Princeton University. Thanks very much. Until next time.
Until next time, Scott. Goodbye.